Merry Christmas from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Join them today for a special Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Celebrate the birth of Jesus and receive the forgiveness He brings to each and every one of us.
Merry Christmas, yes. Everybody. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas, Gloria.
You too.
Love of my life. We have been together 47 years, be 48 years in April. I want to tell you something. In almost 48 years now, neither one of us have ever gotten up to go home to mama or anybody else, as far as that's concerned.
That's right.
And we weren't sticking it out. No.
We were in love.
Yeah, and
we still are.
Praise the Lord. I love her more today than I ever did. Hallelujah.
That's so sweet.
It's because you're so good to me. That's
why. Thank you.
Let's go today in the Word.
You mean you're going to preach on Christmas Day?
Dear
absolutely.
Lord, are you kidding me? That's the day you want to preach. We're celebrating the great forgiveness.
Hallelujah.
That's Jesus was born into this earth as evidence, as heaven's proof, amen, that God's sacrifice, that what God had said all along was true, and His forgiveness was in place,
yes.
Sin was destroyed, and the war was over between heaven
Praise
and
God.
Earth, between God and man. Not only the great forgiveness, but the great blessing, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, all the rest of us,
Hallelujah.
In Christ Jesus.
And it's
Amen.
Available for anybody.
Oh, yes, it is.
Hallelujah.
And I'm so glad.
Praise
Glory.
God.
Now then, let's go back here to Jeremiah 17, 5th verse. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man, that trusts in man's systems, that my source is my job, or my source is my political party, or, oh, you know, I heard the president say this, bless his heart, and he's deceived in thinking this. Anybody is, whoever thinks this. When the economy had, you know, just started in the tank. He said this thing, talking about the economy, this thing is in such a mess that only government can fix it. I thought, whoa, this ain't gonna be good. Why? Because cursed is the man that trusts in government. Cursed is the man that trusts in his education. Cursed is the man that trusts in anything of man.
I'm not going there.
No. You don't want to go there. Now, the Word of God, God said, I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose that you and your seed after you may live. So, we've made the choice, and
yes,
Jesus is that choice, and He is the blessing of God sent forth to bring the blessing of Abraham. And the Word says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. If you're like 73rd Psalm said, behold, the ungodly prosper in the world, and they gather up riches unto themselves. Well, the sorrow's already out there. The curse is already out there. So if you're trusting in that and you're gathering up for yourself instead of depending on God and His gatherings and doing it His way, then you're gathering up the curse unto yourself the whole time. You can't help it because it's out there. So now notice this. He's like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit parched places in wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited. His land is like a salt flat. You can sow all the seed into it you want to. It won't produce anything but just old salt and nothing. Some plants will grow. They're stunted, but they will grow in that salt. but you can't eat them. They're poison.
They're ruined.
Yeah. So it's a poisoned life any way you go at it. Now, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And whose hope the Lord is, mm-hmm. in other words, the Lord is his source, so he is his future. That he shall be as a tree planted by the water and spreads out her roots by the river and shall not see when the heat or the drought comes. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful. She doesn't hoard. She doesn't, well, I can't give anymore. I can't tithe because the economy's bad and I got to keep for myself, keep from, No. Not careful in the year of drought, not anxious about it, not worried about anything, and neither shall cease from yielding fruit. We yield fruit during the bad times, not just for ourselves. Our job here is to yield fruit for those that are living out there in that salt flat and get them out of there and get them over here by the river.
That's right.
God is the river. He, the Holy Ghost, is referred to as the river of God living within us.
Praise
the Lord. That river in us is supposed to be supply for those around us. Now, he said those that trust in God. Let's go back over here where we were yesterday. Jesus said, have faith in God. Now, that's a command. Have faith in God. Now, here's your response. I believe. There's your faith. I will. So you've exercised both.
I believe I will.
Your spirit and your soul, your will. Thank you.
I have faith.
I don't feel like I got faith. He didn't say, have a feeling. He said, have faith in God. Well, I don't feel good. Well, have faith in God. It'll change your feelings.
Do you believe what God says? That's the question.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
I do.
Now, Gloria, look what he said in verse 25. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespass. If you will to not forgive, then you have severed your connection with your Father. Jesus came into the room one time, Gloria, and he said, he saw their faith and said to the man that's sick of the palsy, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. Well, there's some scribes there, and they thought, this man blasphemes. Nobody but God can forgive sin. Well, the Spirit of God revealed to Jesus what they were thinking. And he said, which is easier to say, your sins be forgiven you, or rise, take up your bed? Now listen to this. To prove that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sin. He said to the man sick of the palsy, rise, take up your bed and go home. He immediately got up, took up his bed, and went to his house. So now what's happening here? Listen, this is all grace abounding towards you. Forgiveness is grace. Jesus was the grace of God come.
Yeah.
Now, take this very carefully. The same power to forgive is the power to heal. It's the power to prosper. It is the anointing. It is the blessing of mm-hmm. Abraham come
right.
on us through Christ Jesus. When I refuse to forgive, I refuse to heal. I refuse to prosper you. I refuse to bless you.
So you refuse then he said, to forgive, you're refusing to receive.
Well, yeah, because he said right here, if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. It's not because you don't want to. You've disconnected from
him. Yeah, I see that.
So the flow is disconnected. Give, and it'll be given unto you again, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom.
Amen.
Shall God give into your bosom. It's the principle of giving and receiving. So, I forgive. Now, does that make any difference what they did to you? That's not the issue here. The issue is have faith in God. Yes, sir, I believe, I will. I have faith, thank you. Forgive! How am I gonna forgive that old rascal? Have faith in God.
By faith.
Yeah, by faith. Not by feeling, by faith.
Right.
Now, I receive, I forgive, I receive. I receive faith, I forgive, I receive forgiveness, which is also healing, which is the blessing force of the anointing. So, the only thing that's left, Gloria, is, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Wow! That's the next thing that needs to come out your mouth. I have faith. Thank you, Jesus. I forgive.
Yeah.
I receive my forgiveness. I receive the blessing. I receive my healing. I receive all of my needs supplied according to your riches and glory. I receive all things that he gives richly for us to enjoy. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6.
Now, that word receive in Mark is to take.
Yeah, that's what he said. Believe that you receive it and you shall have it.
I take it.
I take it. It's very aggressive. I take it. That's the reason we said, I believe.
Yeah.
I will.
I take it.
I take it. Thank you very much. I have it. So let's go through this. Jesus said, have faith in God. I believe. I will. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Take it.
I forgive. How? By faith. I forgive. Now what do? I receive my forgiveness. How? By faith. 1 John chapter 1. He's faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When? When we confess them. Not when you feel different. Not when the guilt goes away. When you confess it. Praise God, I have faith. My sins are forgiven and I am cleansed from all unrighteousness. In the name of Jesus, now what? I forgive.
Yeah.
I forgive. My Father's forgiven me. Oh, glory to God. I forgive, and my faith makes me whole.
Hallelujah.
I mean, it's all one process, and it's while you're standing praying.
When did you get saved?
Huh?
When did you get saved?
1962.
What did you do? You took it.
I took
it. You heard it, and you took it.
Now, I had rejected it many times up before then, and I just got more miserable, more miserable, more miserable, more miserable.
And all the time, it was God's will for you to take it.
That night, November the 2nd.
But the moment you took it, you received your salvation.
And I didn't know what to do. I said, God, I don't know what to do. I heard my Sunday school teacher's voice on the inside of me. I was 12 years old, that woman was my Sunday school teacher. And all us boys we just loved her. I don't know how old she was. She was an elderly woman then. But boy, you couldn't tell it. She was a little short, real feisty little woman. And so in Southern Baptist Sunday School, you went by grades just like you did in school. But we wouldn't promote. We said, nope, if we don't have Mrs. Taggart, then we don't go. So Ms. Taggart promoted right along with us. And we called her Old Lady Taggart. And that's what she called herself around us. We weren't being disrespectful. She'd say, listen now, boys, Old Lady Taggart telling you right now, you have to ask Jesus, come in your heart. Well, I heard her voice. You have to ask Jesus, come in your heart.
Years later, huh?
1962. I was 25 years old. I said, that sounds just as dumb as it did the first time I heard it. See, I could have gotten saved when I was 12 on that and not gone through all this misery. So I just said, I don't care if it does. Jesus, come into my heart. And it did.
Praise God.
And I could tell it right then.
Things changed.
Things changed right that moment.
Amen.
Now then, Gloria, who said that? Have faith in God.
Jesus.
Who said, when you stand praying, forgive?
Jesus.
Who said, speak to that mountain?
Jesus.
Who said your heavenly Father will forgive you?
Jesus.
Who said he can't forgive you if you won't forgive?
Jesus.
All right, let me ask you this. Whose words did you put in your mouth?
Jesus.
All right. Who has to back these words according to Hebrews 3?
Jesus.
Whose name does that mountain have to bow its knee?
Jesus.
Under whose law do you live, Moses or Jesus?
Jesus.
What is that law? It's the law of love. Who is the author of the law of love?
Jesus.
Who is the author of your faith?
Jesus.
Who said have faith?
Jesus.
Who said believe you receive?
Jesus.
Who gave himself for you?
Jesus.
Who receives and blesses your tithe?
Jesus.
Who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins?
Jesus.
Who cleanses us from unrighteousness?
Jesus.
In whose life do we walk as, in whose light do we walk as he is in the light?
Jesus.
Whose blood cleanses us from all sin?
Jesus.
Who gave the commandment, love the Lord thy God?
Jesus.
Who commanded, love one another as I've loved you?
Jesus.
Who said, when you stand praying, forgive?
The Lord Jesus.
Then do it!
Amen.
Now!
Glory to God. I got it.
You don't need any other reason.
That's right. Jesus said, amen. I believe it, so I receive
it. I receive it. Glory be to God forevermore.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And things come up and you
yes,
just,
he's the answer.
Your mind just says, we don't know what to do. Just have faith in God. Yes, I will. I have faith in God. Get out of my way and be cast into the sea.
That's right. Praise God.
Now, well, you know, Brother Copeland, it may take 10 years of believing God. Well, you're going to believe God the next 10 years anyhow. Go ahead and do it now. But don't expect it to take all that time. This is now.
That's right.
Now faith is.
Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, you don't have to change your lifestyle. You're blessed. You're walking in the blessing. Gloria, one of the huge things about the blessing, all of the cursed things that happen to people, racism, poverty, all of these things that hurt people, hurt their hearts, hurt their lives, all of the hurt in families, it's all done away with.
Praise God.
It's all washed away as we come together, one in Christ.
And nothing left but the blessing. With no curse.
Isn't it just the most wonderful thing? And we're out of time.
Hallelujah.
Glory, and I'll be back in just a moment.
Wayne Boersler was raised in a religious home, until his parents' divorce separated the family from the church. Disillusioned with denominational Christianity as a teenager, Wayne began to explore and question spiritual truth.
By the time I was in my early 20s, when I was in the Army, I was really studying Eastern philosophy and Buddhism. And that kind of resonated with me because it was a training program, it was a spiritual growth program. I knew there was something out there that was pure light, pure love, pure compassion, that's the best I can describe it. But it was kind of removed from me, but I kept trying to get closer to that. I spent 3 years in the Army, and while I was there, I got introduced to a number of people that were doing consulting for the government, for the military, and they offered me a job. I mean, I was very, you know, what I would call fat, dumb, and happy in the world. I mean, I had, you know, a huge house, I had no money worries, I had all the things I wanted in my life materially.
As he gained work experience, Wayne also pursued his education, obtaining a master's degree and completing law school. As he steadily built his career over the next 25 years, Wayne continued his devoted study of Eastern religions and was ordained as a Buddhist priest. Working in New York City, he met and married a beautiful young woman named Jody. Her spiritual training and personal beliefs created a challenge and an open door.
I would consider us, we were extremely unequally yoked. I mean, she, at the age of 13, became a born-again Christian. Her background is, she's a Messianic Jew today, but she was Jewish background. Her family comes from the Kohen or Kohenin priestly line. And in fact, it was Brother Copeland's teaching back when she was in her 13 and teens that kept her kind of pursuing born-again Christian circles, because he was the only one saying that, you know, God was not done with the Jews. We had gone through 9/11 in New York. We were living in New York at the time. And so we're going into some troubled times coming out of 9/11 in New York. The economy went down. And for the first time in my life, I'd really run into kind of something I wasn't used to in the past 25 or so years. We kind of got into a position where, you know, life was turning around for us. You know, it was taking a little back step compared to what I was used to. I mean, every year I made more money. You know, we bought bigger homes. We never wanted for anything. And for the first time in my life, things were starting to kind of fall apart. Jody introduced me to some of the teachings of Brother Hagin, Brother Copeland. She had been a partner with KCM. And she had prayed about me because she wanted me to be saved because we were so unequally yoked. Here I am, an ordained Buddhist priest. And she's a born-again Messianic Jew.
Amen.
So he came out September 11th, 2001, year after the 9/11, right? So we're at the convention and they had a partner meeting. So I said, okay, we'll go to the partner meeting. The thing that was more impressive at the time was that the glory of God was all over Brother Copeland. I mean, the anointing was so strong on him that day that I just said, he has what I'm missing and he's the one that's supposed to get me there. So we bumped into him at the Javits Center in September 11th, 2002, started watching him consistently on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Wayne and Jody continued to grow spiritually and as a family. With the birth of their son Noah and another baby on the way, the Burslers made plans to travel from New York to Texas.
We spent a week with Brother Copeland and all the great speakers at the 2004 Fort Worth Convention. And of course, 2 days after the Believers Convention, I'm home. I have all the Brother Copeland's materials. I have the Bibles out. And I spent 4, 5, 6 hours saying, okay, I'm going to get saved today. This is great. So I wrote this 6-7-page prayer to get born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Finally get to Romans 10:9, and I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I immediately felt a dramatic change when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And speaking in tongues that night, I just felt a peace about me. The light and the compassion and love that I was kind of like grasping at that was out there came into my heart. And I said, this is it.
With the transformation of his heart, mind, and spirit complete, Wayne and Jody made plans to move to Tulsa, Oklahoma, where they both attended and graduated from Rhema Bible College. For several years, the Burslers have actively served and ministered through a local church. Wayne continued his work in business, as he and Jody have founded their own ministry to teach and train others to live in the light and love of the one true God and His Son, Jesus Christ.
And so it's a good story, it's a good testimony, but it's like someone else telling the story. It's kind of like my life has been recreated to the point of I've been alive for 4 years, and the other 44-ish, you know, were just like, I can't believe that was me. Okay? So no matter what I found in my life through all these other channels, through philosophy, through other religion, through meditation, through prayer, and these other avenues outside of Jesus, I still had this emptiness within me. I still had this gap. And so I'll be the first to say that if it was not for Brother Copeland's ministry, I probably would not be saved today. And I know there's a lot, millions of people out there just like me. Jesus is real. I mean, He was the ultimate answer for me. I said to the Lord, I said, look, Lord, I lay down my life and I'm your servant. I know I'm your friend too, but I want to be your servant. I want to do what you want me to do. So your will, not my will. And that's the greatest thing in anyone's life, is to live for God and know that your life will be far, far better, far more blessed than anything we could hope for or imagine in this lifetime and in eternity.
Man, that's good testimony.
I love that.
That
is amazing.
There's so much involved in that, but you know what just stood out to me? He said, well, today I'm going to get saved. I mean, he made the decision, and he went right at it.
Yeah.
Oh, praise God. And that's the reason Jesus came, is so you could be saved, so you could be separated from the curse.
Yes, that's right.
And the Bible said we are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, not into religion, but into God. So there's been religions made out of it, but Christianity is not a religion. And He came out of a religion and came into God, into Christ Jesus. So when you make the decision, that's the only thing that Jesus hasn't done for you. He did all the hard part. He went to the cross. He went to hell. He's raised from the dead and all that. But He couldn't pray your prayer for you.
That's right.
You had to pray it. Now, that void is in the life of every human being. I don't care who you are. Religion won't fill it. Religion is like if I sit down here and this is a beautiful plate of fruit here and I eat it and I find out it was all plastic, it's not real fruit, but it looked good. And they could even make it taste like fruit, but it won't feed you. Now, religion is that way. But you get over on the Word. Oh, my goodness. Amen. Well, Friday is always offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, you pray about this. Father, we pray.
Yes.
About all the finances of this ministry and the finances of
yes,
the people.
People.
In Jesus' name, we hold them up to you. Your economy is for us. And we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, you be obedient to the Lord. This word from God. Well, I just don't think that seed sowing thing. I think that's people just trying to get money. No, we're not trying to get you money. That's not the way we live. We live by our giving. We're trying to get money to you by preaching you the gospel. Now, I'm not asking you to give an offering in this ministry. No. I'm not asking you for a Christmas present either. But what I am asking you to do is pray, because I don't care if God tells you to take it somewhere else, take it to this church or to that person or to someone on the street, then you obey Him and do it, but you believe God right then and there for the breaking of this cursedness on you in this economy. If God directs you to sow into this ministry, we'll stand with you. We'll believe God with you. Amen.
Amen.
You live outside the United States, you give into the money doesn't come here to this country. It stays in the area where you are, providing television, doing all of these things to minister to you. That's what this is all about. And together, praise God,
we can get it done,
partners. God bless you. Merry Christmas.
Have a
wonderful time and a great new year. Amen. And remember, Jesus is
Lord.
Thank you for joining the Believer's Voice of Victory. Request your gift book by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, One Word from God Can Change Your Life. 4 best-selling works complete in one volume. Prayer, Destiny, Finances, and Health. For faster processing, request yours online at kcm.org or call toll-free. 1 copy per household, please.